Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, May 24th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's so good to be with you. First thing this morning here on this Wednesday in the seventh and final week of the Easter season as we continue to prepare for Pentecost this coming Sunday. Now, today is day six of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit. Each day, we've been praying for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, we ask for the gift of counsel, a disposition in the soul through which the Holy Spirit prompts us to choose to do the better of two good actions. And on Wednesdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph, the husband of our Blessed Mother Mary and the foster father of Jesus. Joseph is a powerful intercessor, so go to Saint Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Well, guys, a sad anniversary in Texas. Flags will be at half staff across the state on order of Governor Greg Abbott. It's been a year since the Uvalde school shooting. 19 children's lives taken. The fourth grade was attacked that day. Two teachers lost their lives as well. Investigations continue into the sort of slow police response to that as well.
It is a sad day, a day that 21 families will never forget, 21 families whose lives were changed forever, Glenn. And so we take a moment today to remember those families.
Absolutely. Just the horror of hearing a shooting at your child's school, rushing there to, you know, hopefully find your kids safe, wondering what's going through the kids' minds for the rest of their lives, for that matter. So lots to still keep in prayer there. Elsewhere, another hat in the presidential ring, probably tonight, a conversation on Twitter expected between Elon Musk and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yep.
They call it faith because in the face of darkness, you can see that brighter future. A faith that our best days lay ahead of us. But is it worth the fight? Do I have the courage? Is it worth the sacrifice? America has been worth it every single time.
And that was the audio from a 30-second dramatic video which DeSantis' wife, Casey, posted on Twitter yesterday that shows the governor standing in front of a large American flag in which it appears to be a backstage setting with a loud applause heard in the distance. So very dramatic, and it all sets the stage for tonight's much-anticipated announcement on Twitter.
Interesting way to announce a candidacy, but it's 2023. I guess that's what happened. Some see him as one of the most serious challengers to Donald Trump on the Republican side, as well as interesting with the you know, maybe the backing of Elon Musk for being on in that situation?
Yeah, Elon Musk has not committed that he is going to back Governor DeSantis. But keep in mind that DeSantis has a long way to go. Former President Trump still leads Governor DeSantis 58-16, according to the latest Harvard Caps Harris poll just from last week. So we've just begun, and it's a long battle.
That's right. Busy week, too. We had Senator Tim Scott already announcing this week, and so things starting to heat up on the Republican side, and be anxious to see what polls look like in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, NBA Eastern Conference Finals in Miami last night. Jason Tatum scored 33 points and 11 rebounds, leading the way as the Boston Celtics stave off elimination by beating the Miami Heat 116-99 in Game 4. So they will see yet one more game, Glenn.
Yeah, they stayed alive, so at least one more game there. Game 5 coming up Thursday night in Boston. Meanwhile, Denver resting up. The finals get underway June 1st. In the NHL last night, Vegas just a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. They shut out the Dallas Stars 4-0 last night. in Texas. So they're up 3-0. Eastern Conference game 4 tonight. The Panthers lead, and Florida will be hosting Carolina. Again, Florida up 3-0 there.
Super exciting time, both in the NBA and the NHL, as things get closer and closer to the finals in the respective leagues. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We start every morning, always, first things first, always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 2 Timothy 1:7. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." Our Lord Jesus Christ promised to send us the Holy Spirit as we continue our 9-day novena of prayer for the Holy Spirit, as the apostles did in the upper room with the Blessed Mother before the first Pentecost. Jesus commands us, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silenced, for I am with you." Make a decision to pray for the Spirit in the next few days before Pentecost Sunday. Believe and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. Our email, if you want to reach us directly, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as we've been talking about all week and mentioned here at the beginning of the show, today is day 6 of the traditional novena to the Holy Spirit, the first of all the novenas, as we follow the example of the apostles and pray for 9 days to prepare us for Pentecost. This novena is a beautiful practice that really puts us there with the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary, experiencing the graces of Pentecost and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I spoke to Father Paul Canariato about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Father Canariato is a member of the Morning Air family, as a longtime contributor. He's the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark. Here's my conversation with Father Paul Canariato. Good morning, Father Canariato. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you. What a blessing.
Good morning, John. Good morning to all our Relevant Radio family this morning.
Can you explain to us why the solemnity of Pentecost is called the birthday of the Church?
Well, you know, Mary and the apostles were gathered in prayer in that upper room, and they were praying, and that's a very important thing. And as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And they, of course, they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and began to proclaim the gospel. And it is, in a sense, the birthday of the Church, because that's when the apostles went out and began to fulfill their mission. And the mission to be Church is to proclaim the gospel. And they went out and they became a visible presence in the community of faith, active. And it's continued on, of course, to our own day. So it is, in a sense, our birthday, as it's called, because the Church was born on that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they went out into the streets to proclaim the gospel. And that's what being Church is all about, making the gospel known.
And Father Canariato, the same Holy Spirit that gave Peter and the apostles boldness, and they had no more fear after they received the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the gospel, that same Holy Spirit is available to us today. Can you talk about why we all need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Well, that that's the most exciting thing. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, that very same Holy Spirit that was given to those apostles at Pentecost was poured out upon us at our baptism and our confirmation. But I know a lot of us, when we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, we're very young. And so we need that fresh anointing from time to time to pray, come Holy Spirit, and renew me, renew my life. Give me a fresh anointing of your Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always willing to be poured out anew upon us in deeper anointings as we grow deeper and deeper in our journey of faith, in our spiritual journey. The spiritual life is a life of progress, and we're called to go deeper and deeper as the years go by in our life. So as we go deeper and deeper in the spiritual life, we need to pray, come Holy Spirit, give me a fresh anointing so that I can do what you're calling me to do in my life. Our lives change from year to year, and we are called to different responsibilities. For example, in a family, someone's called to be a mother or a father, to embrace the sacrament of marriage. Somebody may be called to have a new job. And so, come Holy Spirit, help me in this moment to be the best that I can be, to be your disciple in this world today, to make you known, to do what you ask me to do, to be your eyes and ears and hands and feet in the world.
Father, do you think that for many of us as Catholics, it's so easy to forget about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity? Can you talk a little bit about it? We touched on this last week, how we are called to live not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives.
Well, I guess it's human to want to do things on your own power and strength, to realize I can do it all by myself, I don't need anybody else. But in a sense, we do need God. And we who are believers need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus poured out the Spirit upon the apostles, because he knew that they couldn't do it on their own human power and strength. They were all hiding in fear in the upper room. But they got that boldness and courage and confidence to go out into the world and begin to proclaim the gospel. And in being guided by the Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak. When we don't even know what to say, we say, come Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak in this particular situation I find myself in. I need your power. I need your strength. I can't do it on my own. And so we need that power every day. And we're called to invoke that power on a daily basis to be with us all the time. And so the Holy Spirit is meant to be active in our lives. We know the Father. We know the Son, and we continue to develop our relationship with them, but we need the power of the Spirit, which is their Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son in our daily lives every day, and to guide us and to show us the way forward.
Father Canariato, Pope St. Pius X, way back in 1908, wrote a beautiful act of consecration to the Holy Spirit that always inspires me when I renew my consecration of the Holy Spirit. And Cardinal Mercier also said that devotion to the Holy Spirit was the secret of sanctity. There is so much power for us available. All we have to do is tap into the Holy Spirit and consecrate ourselves to the third person of the Holy Trinity.
Yes, that's all we need to do. I became more conscious in my own life of the Holy Spirit's power when I was 17. And I prayed for a deeper release of that Spirit to me. And I began to experience that power in my life. And it led me, of course, to embrace the Catholic priesthood. The power of God is real, and it's something that we want to tap into on a regular basis in our daily lives, and to realize that through this baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it were, we can have that greater understanding of the mysteries of the gospel and then proclaim that in our daily life each day. God is faithful. He promises his Spirit to us, and he will give us all the graces we need in our life every day to empower us, as he empowered the early believers. And that's so important to continue to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to continually be poured out upon us. He wants to give us his grace. He wants to give us his mercy. He wants to give us his love. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he does that for each of us.
The Holy Spirit is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you talk a little bit about why the Holy Spirit is a gift that just keeps on giving to us?
Yes, it's a continual gift that is given to us in the church. And by the continual, it's always available. It's always available. The Holy Spirit is always at the ready, ready to come to our assistance at any moment. At any moment, God is listening. And we can say, come, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what to do. Show me the way. When we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit can guide us and teach us and show us the way. So it's always available to us. And that's why it's a daily gift that is given to us on a regular basis so that we can be the people he calls us to be. You know, when you think of the apostles, they went out into the world and they didn't know what they were going to confront when they went out into the streets of Jerusalem. And they had to deal with a lot of difficult things and they experienced persecution for their faith. But yet the Holy Spirit showed them what to do. The Holy Spirit showed Paul and Barnabas where to go. The Holy Spirit shows us where to go and what to do and how to do what he asks us to do. He never leaves us alone. The Holy Spirit never leaves us alone. He always gives us the grace necessary on a daily basis.
And Father, for those who may have missed our discussion from last week, can you briefly kind of summarize a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they apply to our lives?
Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there for us, and we can read them, and of course, as we think about them, for example, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and all the other gifts, we can ask God to pour those gifts forth into our lives, to let those gifts become manifest in us, to become real in us. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your power. I need understanding. I need counsel. I need fortitude. I need strength. I need to be more holy, so give me the gift of piety. I want to be in awe of you, so give me reverence and respect for you in a deeper way. We can ask the Holy Spirit for his gifts in a moment, and the Spirit, again, will, through the gifts, help us to do what we need to do in the world today in our daily lives.
And St. Paul reminds us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We can have the Holy Spirit literally dwelling inside of our souls.
Yes, and that's the reality, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives in us. And it's so important to recognize that that's who we are and to have that expectant faith on a regular basis, that to realize that the Spirit is always there to give to us what we need in every moment. Because, again, God sees us with an eternal, he sees with an eternal vision, and he sees us, and he knows exactly what we need at every moment. He created us, and he redeemed us, and he shows us the way to help to go forward in our faith, and it's there for us to help us to be the people he invites us to be.
And the Holy Spirit is also there in the sacraments. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from Christ, obviously, who we receive in confession and especially in the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely. The sacraments are the doorway. So as we go to the sacrament of reconciliation on a regular basis, as we receive the Eucharist every Sunday and even daily, perhaps, those sacraments, again, are the ways in which the power source of the Spirit comes so directly into our hearts, minds, and spirits, so we can be all that Jesus asks us to be as his disciples.
Father, a final thought as we approach the great feast, the solemnity of Pentecost this Sunday.
Well, I would just invite everyone to join in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth and renew me. Give me that fresh anointing. Come to Pentecost with expectant faith that God will do just as he promises, that he will give us that fresh anointing. I invite everyone to pray for that fresh anointing of the Spirit as we gather this Pentecost Sunday.
And that was Father Paul Canariato, the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll go live to the Vatican for our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, for the latest news on the Holy Father, Pope Francis. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on this Wednesday, edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday, the seventh and final week of the Easter season. And now, indeed, it is time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project in Rome, where they take people from knowing their faith to setting their hearts on fire with talks, tours, and spiritual direction, all centered on scripture, art, and beauty. They even have a special track to evangelize young adults. You can visit truthandbeautyproject.com to find out how you can make your life a masterpiece in 1 week with John and Ashley in Rome. Buongiorno. Good morning, Ashley. We can still say Happy Easter for a few more days. Thanks so much for joining us again from Bella Roma.
Buongiorno to you, John. The sun is shining. It's an absolutely glorious day after lots of rain, and I am very happy to bring Rome to home to you.
Well, Ashley, since it's a glorious day, that means that the Holy Father's Wednesday general audience was outdoors in St. Yes. Peter's Square. Tell us about his message this morning.
It sure was, and that message on apostolic zeal continued today. Today, the Holy Father focused his catechesis on St. Andrew Kim. He was the first native priest and martyr of Korea. And today, the Holy Father pointed to him, calling his life an eloquent testimony of zeal for the gospel. And he also pointed out that with the help of someone like the great St. Andrew Kim, it was lay people who then chose to evangelize and spread the faith. And he asked a very poignant question today of all the faithful. He said, could you do that? Now, in looking at the life of St. Andrew Kim, he said, of course, this was a time of fierce persecution. But despite that, St. Andrew sought out Christians who were, of course, hiding their faith. They were keeping it secret. The Pope told a story, a particular story about St. Andrew Kim, who he was traveling in his evangelization efforts. Snow was falling, and he was so worn out that he finally fell to the ground. But while he was there, he heard a voice say, get up and keep walking. And it was at that moment that he realized that while he's spreading the gospel, he is not alone. So the Pope encouraged all today to look to St. Andrew Kim for courage to get up when any of us fall. And he said that he praised his life, the life of St. Andrew Kim, as one who followed the Lord, who followed his way in the gospel, and was even willing to give his own life for the sake of the gospel, and pointing out that it's the Holy Spirit, of course, who gives this strong Christian witness and identity. And it's been that way since Pentecost. So especially as we await Pentecost, the Pope asked all to pray for the strength for evangelization, and also to pray through the intercession of St. Andrew Kim, in the Pope's words, not to be robbed of the sweet joy of evangelization and to have that strength to go forward. And then finally, John, today, the Pope also prayed on the World Day of Prayer for the Church in China. This is something that was established in 2007 by Pope Benedict XVI, and it's on the Feast of Mary, Help of Christians, specifically as a day to remember the church in China and the church in Asia. And so today, the prayer was especially for consolation and encouragement of the church in China, and that the goodness and fullness, beauty, and freedom of the gospel can be spread to China and Asia, John.
And I think the Holy Father's words is a reminder that not only was there great persecution in Korea a couple hundred years ago, but that persecution continues for the Christian faith in North Korea and in so many parts of China to this day, where people have to go through great hardships just to be able to even get their hands on the gospel.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's why there was a real moment of almost tangible silence when the Pope asked that question, could you do that? Or would you be willing to evangelize to the point of giving your own life in a place like Korea, in a place like your own hometown, in your neighborhood, in your family? So it was definitely a question that stuck with the audience today, John.
Meanwhile, the Holy Father made it official. He confirmed that he will be in Lisbon for World Youth Day coming up this summer in August. In fact, super exciting. He's scheduled to visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima right nearby.
Exactly. It's going to be so special because World Youth Day is such an amazing event, gathering young people from around the world. So this will be held from the 2nd to the 6th of August, right there, as you mentioned, John, in Lisbon, Portugal. And this will be the fourth World Youth Day that Pope Francis has attended, the others in Panama, Poland, and Brazil. And the theme of this year's World Youth Day is Mary Arose Without Haste. So Mary Arose Without Haste. Now, recently, the Pope sent a video message to those who are participating. And he said that to participate in a World Youth Day is what he called something beautiful, because one can grow a lot from the World Youth Day experience. So he encouraged all of the participants to have enthusiasm and hope for this experience. And of course, for those who have been or people are coming together, you realize that there are people who share the faith in all parts of the world and are excited about the faith. So it's an amazing, always an amazing experience. In fact, to give you an idea of numbers that come out, in Panama City, there were about 700,000. In Krakow, there were 3.5 million. And in Rio, there were 3.7 million young people who came out for this event with Pope Francis. Now, this was started by Pope John Paul II, of course, and in 1995, during the World Youth Day, it was the second largest event ever, papal event ever, with 5 million people coming out to be there and to see Pope John Paul II. That was the first World Youth Day in Asia, but it was the largest papal gathering ever was also there in the Philippines, actually. There were over 5.5 million people who came to see Pope John Paul II when he went. So it gives you an idea of the enthusiasm for this event. And if anyone has the opportunity to attend, it really is a life changer, John.
It is really amazing when you think about it, that many people, those millions and millions of people come to see the successor of St. Peter, the Vicar of Christ. So they come to see the Holy Father who represents Jesus, of course. And so this is going to be super exciting in Portugal this summer. And the fact that Fatima is just about 75 miles away from Lisbon, the capital, obviously he's scheduled to visit Fatima, if I'm not mistaken, on the 5th. Is it? Exactly. I think it's August 5th. He's supposed to go to Fatima.
Exactly, it's the 5th of August that he'll go. So it's very exciting.
Can you imagine what it'll be like there in the piazza in Fatima?
Oh, I can hardly even imagine the excitement. It's always an amazing experience to visit a pope and then in a place like Fatima, where, of course, we all remember Pope St. John Paul II going there and placing the bullet, the one bullet that was able to be removed from his body, into the crown of Our Lady of Fatima.
Are there any concerns, Ashley, about the rigorous schedule of a World Youth Day for the Holy Father, who has been dealing with his own physical issues?
Yes, well, in fact, that is why we weren't exactly sure if he would be attending. And that's why the confirmation came a little bit later than expected. But sure enough, this news, of course, was very welcomed by all of the young people who will be attending World Youth Day 2023.
On another note, and we talked about it a little bit last week, the flooding situation in northern Italy. What's the latest?
Well, John, at this point, there are about 23,000 people who have been displaced. Sadly, there are 14 people who have passed away. There are many people who are staying with friends and family. There's about 2,700 people in schools and gyms and centers right now. What happened was in the Emilia-Romagna region, they got about 6 months worth of rain in about 36 hours. And wow. two dozen rivers as a result burst from their banks. Streets became rivers. Farmland was submerged, still underwater now. So as a result of that, about 10 to 40 million fruit trees are going to have to be lost. Now, that area is really part of the breadbasket of Italy. And there are still 600 roads closed in that area. In fact, our Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, returned one day early from Japan, from the G7 summit there, to visit that area and called an emergency meeting and unblocked $2 billion in emergency funds to give to that area to compensate farmers, to also suspending mortgage payments, tax payments. And in the meantime, also Ferrari, the Grand Prix, the Formula Uno Grand Prix had to be canceled in that area because of the weather. But Ferrari also gave a 1 million euro donation in aid. So that's what's happening up there. And so if we could please keep, especially the people of Emilia-Romagna, in your prayers.
Absolutely. Many prayers are needed. Meanwhile, the feast of the patron saint of Rome, Saint Philip Neri, is coming up this Friday. What are the plans? I'm sure there's going to be many celebrations.
Yes, in fact, he is beloved here. In fact, he's known as the second apostle of Rome. And so one place that people will visit for his feast day is a church that has the nickname Chiesa Nuova. And there, his remains are kept in the left transept of the church. Also, people can visit the rooms, the very rooms where he lived in and spent the last 12 years of his life. Then, also another important place to visit on that special day is the Catacomb of Saint Sebastian. And that's the place where, while Saint Philip Neri was in prayer there, he received a supernatural infusion of God's love. It took the form of a ball of fire that entered through his mouth and went into his heart, actually expanding his heart. In fact, at his autopsy, it was discovered that two of his ribs were cracked because of the experience. And so he seemed from that point to love with this incredible supernatural love. And then another wonderful place of pilgrimage on Friday, John, is the Church of St. John the Baptist of the Florentines, where St. Philip Neri became the rector in 1564. And then finally, a place that I have the great blessing of being able to visit often is the Church of St. Jerome of Charity. And what's above it are the private rooms of St. Philip. And he lived there for over 30 years. Now, the reason I do have that chance to visit often is because one of the universities where I teach is called Pontifical University of the Holy Cross. It has its library that's actually attached to that church with the rooms there. And so it's a great gift to go into the very chapel where St. Philip Neri used to celebrate the Holy Mass. And in fact, there in the chapel, it marks some very special moments that occurred there, like St. Philip Neri having the experience of levitating while celebrating the Holy Mass. So he, who is also considered a great saint of joy because of his huge sense of humor, is a person that we can all pray to for that gift of growth and apostolic zeal and apostolic joy so we can continue to spread the faith to the ends of the earth, John.
Well, I'm sure there will be tremendous joy this Friday for the feast of St. Philip Neri, the patron of Rome. As always, grazie. Thanks so much, Ashley, for bringing Rome to home to our listeners.
Well, I'm so happy to be with you. Many blessings on you.
Thanks so much. Ashley Norona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we're going to be joined by Brian Birch, the president and founder of Catholic Vote, to discuss the latest with the L.A. Dodgers re-inviting an anti-Catholic group to their Pride night. So stay with us. We are just getting going here on this Wednesday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning in the seventh and final week of the Easter season as we get ready for a Pentecost this coming Sunday. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, the Los Angeles Dodgers continue to be in the news this morning for reversing course. Listen to this tweet. The Dodgers have instantly become the Bud Light of baseball. Catholic Vote tweeted this after the L.A. Dodgers on Monday re-invited an anti-Catholic hate group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, to be honored at the team's June 16th LGBTQ plus Pride Night. Now, there has been a tremendous backlash from many everyday Catholics and Catholic leaders, including Senator Marco Rubio and Dr. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, who joined us on Morning Air a couple of days ago with his reaction.
Well, I was stunned. I mean, either they don't know what this group is all about or they're willfully on their side. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt that maybe they don't know how vicious they are. They're not just some fun group who gives a few pennies to charity. They mock the Eucharist. They mock Jesus. They mock our Blessed Mother. They've been doing it for decades. I've been at war with them for many years. And to think that you're going to honor them is a disgrace.
And, of course, CatholicVote.org is also doing something about it to confront the Dodgers. Joining us live is Brian Burst, the president and founder of Catholic Vote, to discuss this situation with the L.A. Dodgers. Good morning, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us. It is good to be with you once again.
Well, good morning. I appreciate that little Twisted Sister music intro to this segment. It's a nice play there because it's exactly what we're talking about here.
Well, Brian, you know, so many people are outraged, including this reporter. How in the world can the L.A. Dodgers, such a storied Major League Baseball team, the team of Jackie Robinson and Vin Scully and Tommy Lasorda, be up for inviting, then backing out, and then re-inviting this anti-Catholic hate group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Well, that's a great question. It's the same question the Wall Street Journal asked this morning in a titled article, "This is not the Tommy Lasorda's Dodgers." The Dodgers were historically owned by a Catholic family. They did things the Dodger way, which was always a classy way. And, you know, as Bill Donahue said in that recording a second ago, you know, the Dodgers, it's no longer a question of whether the Dodgers know what this group is about. They rescinded the invite, and then the pressure came, and then they folded. And what folded means is they surrendered to the radical, extreme left wing of the gay rights lobby and told Catholics that our respect for our faith, respect for what we believe, is second class. If anyone looks at what these sisters, so-called sisters, do, they've desecrated the Eucharist. They've performed all sort of sacrilegious and blasphemous, vile, sexually perverted acts. The idea that this group will receive an award and be honored by a Major League Baseball team is just outrageous. And so we've announced that we are raising $1 million to run an ad campaign across Los Angeles, and we will not stop. Even after June 16th, when this presumably will still go forward, we will not stop. We want the Dodgers to know that Catholics don't go down easy, and we intend to continue to fight this as long as we can.
Brian, how can the Dodgers and the Dodgers management be so tone-deaf after thousands of Catholic Vote supporters flooded Dodger Stadium with phone calls, and they still ignored it? They're still ignoring the reaction from everyday Catholics, not to mention Catholic leaders.
Well, another good question, and I will tell you, I've been working the phones and talking to various people that have influence, including, by the way, some of the minority owners of the Dodgers. And from what I understand, and this is the case, I think, in a lot of these large corporations, a lot of the ownership of these companies are not on board with this. This is not good for their brands. They certainly don't want to get embroiled in these struggles. Where the problem is the inmates are running the asylum. And you have often inside of these big corporations, community relations departments, marketing departments, various pieces of the corporations that live in this kind of woke corporate world. And they forget that there's a whole nother side of America, and especially a lot of their own buyers and consumers that don't agree with a lot of this junk. And so, unfortunately, because of the power of the left and the way in which they have embedded themselves inside of large corporations across the country, they are now dictating the terms. And it, this is, as you suggested at the beginning, not just, you know, the Dodgers. We have Bud Light, we have Target, we have, we're heading into a very difficult month here for Catholics, right? I suspect we're going to see a lot of challenges to what we believe over this so-called Pride Month of June.
Well, Brian, we know that this group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, have been doing grotesque, insane, crazy things, mocking the mass, mocking the religious sisters. They've been doing this for a couple of decades. In fact, some of the things that they've done are so outrageous that it's really not even fit to talk about here in the morning with children listening.
Well, that's exactly it, and I won't talk about a lot of it. Understand that is represent some of the most, you know, blasphemous and vile and grotesque things that you would ever think of doing. And it's explicitly designed to mock and to shame Catholics. This is the thing. You know, I don't believe that Pride Night is a good thing. I think it celebrates a, you know, a way of living that's not healthy for people. But the Dodgers can do their Pride Night if they want to. They don't need to do it, however, by inviting and honoring an organization whose very purpose is to mock and to defile the Catholic Church. This group received the Eucharist from the Archbishop of San Francisco surreptitiously in order to defile it. So the very sacred body and blood of our Lord, they use as a sexual stunt.
Absolutely outrageous. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation on the Dodgers re-inviting this anti-Catholic group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We're taking your calls for Brian Birch, the president and founder of Catholic Vote, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I know Archbishop Corleone has had something to say about this Dodgers situation, but yesterday the Archdiocese of Los Angeles also called for, quote, all Catholics and people of goodwill to stand against bigotry and hate in any form. This is according to an archdiocesan statement. Your reaction?
Well, I'm very happy that the bishops of both San Francisco, now Los Angeles, and the Diocese of Orange, all of the surrounding dioceses have now spoken out. And we're hopeful that we'll hear a chorus of bishops begin to speak out on this. Because, again, this is not going to stop until enough people stand up and say enough. And that intro music you led into the segment with, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. And until these large corporations begin to hear this forcefully from consumers, from believers, and in this case from Catholics, they aren't going to stop. And they're going to continue to push us as hard as they can. And this is what we're starting to see with the pushback on Bud Light. I understand that Target is now going to begin removing some items from their shelves because of a pushback. I don't know that we'll be successful here with the Dodgers. But again, until people begin to stand up, this stuff will continue. This stuff will continue.
And, you know, real quick, you mentioned the Diocese of Orange. I understand that the mayor of Anaheim also invited this group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, personally to the Big A, to Anaheim Stadium.
She did do that. And by the way, she is a Catholic, a proud Catholic. She did that as a way of pushing back when the Dodgers initially rescinded their invitation. So presumably it's not as important anymore. But again, who do you choose to honor, award, and to celebrate? If you want to do the pride thing, do your pride thing. But don't do it at the expense of Catholics, especially when you are a baseball team. These people go to a baseball game to, you know, enjoy watching competition, to be entertained, not to be, you know, for politics and left-wing anti-Catholic bigotry to be shoved down our throats.
I remember, Brian, talking to Tommy Lasorda years ago, and he was so proud of loving the priests and the nuns and his Catholic faith. He said he would shout it from the mountaintop. Can you just imagine what Tommy would be reacting if he was still with us?
Well, absolutely. Not only him, but Vin Scully, the late famous Dodgers announcer, was a well-known devoted Catholic who helped Catholic charities throughout Los Angeles. I'll leave your listeners with this last thing. We, as some of you know, there was this uncovered nun in Missouri who is now incorruptible, the foundress of this order. And I saw this tweet, and I think this is so great, and I quote it, "Isn't it incredible that the exact same time the Dodgers announced that they would be hosting a cross-dressing sisters, that God would have the body of an incorrupt nun unearthed, a sign to those with eyes to see that he is there and he will not be mocked."
Absolutely a providential. What a great point. Brian, you said that this is a slap in the face of every Catholic. What can Dodger fans do? What can baseball fans do? And Catholics across our country, anybody who feels strongly about speaking out against the Dodgers' decision to promote this group, this anti-Catholic hate group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Well, use every tool at your disposal, and it works, especially when done in large numbers. Certainly, if you live in Los Angeles, you need to, you know, speak out, talk, reach the Dodgers, call their phone lines, tag them in social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and if you use any social media. Certainly, if you're willing, make a contribution to our ad campaign. All the dollars that we're going to raise here are going to go into ads that will start running later this week. We have billboards planned. We have radio ads in Spanish, by the way. 30% of Los Angeles is Catholic. We Catholics need to stand together, especially when our faith is defiled and insulted in this way.
Amen. And we are not going to take it anymore. Absolutely. And many blessings with your campaign. And I know that a lot of people of faith and goodwill and everyday Catholics are with you. Thanks so much, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Brian Burst, the president and founder of Catholic Vote. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Turning the Other Cheek. Julio Diaz has a daily routine. Every night, the 31-year-old social worker ends his hour-long subway commute to the Bronx one stop early just so he can eat at his favorite diner. One night last month, as Diaz stepped off the number 6 train and onto a nearby empty platform, his evening took an unexpected turn. As he was walking toward the stairs, a teenage boy approached and pulled out a knife. "He wants my money, so I just give him my wallet and told him, 'Here you go,'" says Diaz. As the teen began to walk away, Diaz told him, "Hey, wait a minute, you forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might want to take my coat to keep you warm." The would-be robber looked at his would-be victim, like, "What's going on here?" Diaz says. He asked me, "Why are you doing this?" Diaz replied, "If you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, I guess you must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was get dinner. And if you really want to join me, hey, you're more than welcome." "You know, I just felt maybe he really needs help," said Diaz. But Diaz said he and the teen went into the diner and sat in a booth. The manager came by, the dishwashers, waiters, all said hi, says Diaz. The kid was like, "You know everybody here. Do you own this place?" "No, I just eat here a lot," says Diaz. But he said, "You're even nice to the dishwasher." Diaz replied, "Well, haven't you been taught that you should be nice to everybody?" "Yeah, but I didn't think people actually behaved that way," said the teen. Diaz asked what he wanted out of life, and he said he had just a sad face. The teen couldn't answer or didn't want to. When the bill arrived, Diaz told the teen, "Look, I guess you're going to have to pay for this bill because you have all my money. I can't pay for this. So if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you." The teen didn't even think about it and returned the wallet, says Diaz. "I gave him $20. I figure maybe it'll help him. I don't know." Diaz said he did ask for something in return, the teen's knife, and he gave it to me. Afterward, when Diaz told his mother what happened, she said, "You're the type of kid, if someone asked you for the time, you'd give them your watch." Diaz said, "I figure, you know, if you treat people right, you can only hope they treat you right. It's as simple as it gets in this complicated world." From Matthew 5, 38 through 42, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. when someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for two. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow.
Powerful words from our Lord Jesus Christ, as always. Thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Taillon, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, will join us to talk about the wedding season and the question that you should ask your spouse every single morning. And personal success coach Dave Duran will tell us about 5 ways to build confidence in team members. So stay with us. We're just warming up. There's much more to come on this Wednesday in the final hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.